Human Services.
2 hours.
And we'll begin with the director at 178. All right, go ahead.
For anybody who doesn't know me, I'm Tammy Kapp. I'm the CFO for the Human Services Department. And before we start on the budget, usually we do a third quarter update. So I just want to let everyone know where we stand for third quarter. This is with actuals mostly through August 31st. And right now, we are looking at a levy surplus of 82,000, almost 83,000, not including Brookside and Willowbrook because they're on the reserve. Aging Disability has a levy need projected of 629,000, and Children and Family Services have a surplus of 550,000. The Health Department is looking at a surplus of 107,000. Medical Examiner 20,000, Veterans 10,000. Workforce Development, 25,000. So that gives us our levy surplus projected of 83,000. Then for Brookside Care Center, as of 8/31, we had a loss of 374,000, but we had budgeted a loss of 1.7 million because we were still in the renovation phase and we were down 10 beds. So we're actually ahead of budget, 785,000. And then for Willowbrook, at the time I put this report together, we were projecting to be 141,000 for a loss, which would have been 83,000 over budget. But we're still ramping up on our beds, and now through September, I'm projecting $126,000 loss, which we budgeted $135,000. So we're actually $10,000 under budget for Willowbrook as well. Any questions on the third quarter update?
Sure. Can you go over this? It says behavioral health deficit $1,182,478, and I see you're offset by savings of revenue from other units, but explain why it's $1,182,478.
Okay. If we go to page 2, that gives the whole breakout on what is between that 1.182 million. So on the right side, the column on the right side is showing our over under budget projection for the year. So our institutes were looking at being $1 million over what we budgeted.
What's your explanation on that? More people, they're charging more, what's the analysis there? Raw numbers.
It's the days of care. So if you look on page 3, the charts down at the bottom, our admissions is kind of remaining, it's a little bit higher, but we're projecting to be around the same.
Give me the numbers.
Our days of care for institutes is up to 14.9. So last year we were at 12.9.
For what? What's that? Per day? Per person? What is that?
That's how long, the average length of stay of a person going in there.
Of one person, all right.
Exactly. And we have some outliers in there this year. I think we have about...
How many people is that?
We had 188 admissions through August 31st, and 40 of them, with 40 of those that were readmissions, so they went in more than once. And we had 9 people in there that were in it over 60 days, so we had some outliers in there.
So is there an increase in the daily rate?
No, the daily rate is running around 1,200, so we're at 1,145 through June. And we budgeted at 1,200. So no, the rate is not increasing.
You know, this is an area where when we meet with the legislators, and I wish Supervisor Noodle is not here, maybe this is something that his committee ought to be addressing with the legislators, my view. I don't know why we should be paying the cost of a state institution. That's their cost. We don't pay, if somebody's incarcerated in prison, they pay it, not us. Why are we paying this? This is something that is an increasing amount. Somebody ought to pass it along to Mr. Supervisor Noodle and his committee.
Why they do it?
Because they can. Well, because they don't hear from the constituents at the county level, we just keep paying the bill. All right, any other points here that ought to be brought to our attention on this mental health? Now, what about the care center? Is that saving money or not? Yeah, well.
The care center, right now, we contract out, so we're kind of holding them to their contract amount. So we don't have any savings, but we don't have any additional costs.
All right.
However, they are running full, and you'll see in our 2019 budget, we're going to be requesting to increase the beds from 11 to 16 to open up some more beds.
So how would that impact, if at all, the institutional numbers?
If someone's at the institute and there's a bed open that they can go to, that would save us, you know, $1,100, $1,200 a day.
I would add that they did a Niatex pilot, and that's a system improvement pilot where we opened up two additional beds temporarily at the care center for, I believe it was a 1 or 2 month period, and we were able to divert 11 people from the hospital into the care center. So that savings was $42,000 just right there by having those additional beds. So we're hopeful that if the budget's approved and we add up to 16 beds, we could see more numbers like that in the future.
Jeff.
John, could you do me a favor and through the chair and asking the chair, maybe for our January meeting or one of the meetings at the beginning of next year, look at that mental health study was done and bring that in front of us and see what we've done to
update on it.
To give us an update on that.
Sure.
I think when we do studies, it's always fashionable, but I want to see how we're utilizing that and the impact of that. So
sure.
If we could have that on one
sure.
of our agendas, I'd appreciate
January
it.
Agenda.
Thank you.
Anybody else on this part of the agenda? Why don't you talk about the 19 budget?
All right. I've been waiting.
Wow, she seems way too excited for me. There's a problem here. I feel it already.
Put your
seatbelt
on. That's
the most excited any presenter's been.
Holy right. Good
start. I got to put my seatbelt on.
So page one shows our human services overview. Our levy requested total for human services is $759,000. Our county FTEs is 15.59. The county, when we look at what we're requesting for the county FTEs, the percent of personnel to our budget is 32.8 in 2018, and it went up a tenth of a percent to 32.9. The other thing to note in here is our levy percentage. So in 2018, we were at 16.4%. So we're actually going down in levy as a percentage of our budget, a tenth of a percent. So we're going down to 16.3%. Any questions on the first page? We're going to go into the details as we go.
What about the levy increase 5%?
You want the total breakdown, or do you want to wait till we go kind of go through each division?
No, am I correct?
Yes,
it's a 5%
increase.
Correct. When the board said 3% in that resolution, what's your explanation for deviating from the board's mandate?
This is basically what we needed to keep the operations going. We do have some additional requests to put into the levy, one being institutes, some placements, some stuff that's mandated that we have to supply. And
I know, but when the board says 3%, why do you deviate from that clear mandate?
Our overall percentage decreased for our total budget down to 16.3. So even though we're adding some additional levy, overall we still are at a lower level percentage levy limit than we were in 2018.
Well, I guess question, what would the budget look like if you followed the board's resolution at 3% instead of 5%.
I believe I thought that was a countywide resolution and not specific to departments in town.
Well, that's yes, so but that's everybody has to do their role, because if you're at 5, somebody else has to do just that much less.
Mr. Turner, as far as what I think, the county executive was given a 3% limit, if I were correct. I mean, I didn't vote for it.
2.5.
Every department came in, some came in a little higher, some came in a little lower. Obviously, they came in higher, but he did come in at 3%.
So came in at 2.25.
Well, 2.5.
Okay. Yeah.
2.25.
Right.
So, I mean, some went over, some went under. I mean,
it's only advisory anyway.
Yeah, but he did come in with the budget that was what we asked them to get. In fact, a 0.25% less than that. Some departments had to go over because they had to go over. He had to fund all the departments, but he did come in with revenues to cover it, so we only went up 2.25%. That's where we are. I don't know how else to.
Any other discussion on that point? All right, go ahead.
Okay, so to start, page 2 starts the Office of the Director. We have no change in FTEs in this division. We do have an increase in the personnel section 3 of 98,000. 142,000 is for the human resources benefit partner allocation. Of this, 50% is funded. We have a reduction of 62,000 for our special projects coordinator retirement. And we have a $25,000 increase for health insurance, just replacing a staff member who was on the spouse's insurance plan. In the cost allocation section 7, you'll see a $126,000 reduction. This is for fiscal contracted services. We have reduced what we use and we've reallocated the workload. In section 9, you'll see the revenue changes. We have a decrease of $85,000 due to the way we allocate the funds. And in this section, we get income from all the revenue sources since we support all of the other divisions. So if our expenses are reduced, our revenue will be reduced as well. And this is based on FTE counts. So for our net levy, we are looking for a levy increase in the Office of the Director for $64,000. Questions on the Office of the Director? The next section we have is the Central Services. The Central Services serves two purposes. One is it's where all of our job center costs go and where the revenue comes in. So we charge out all the costs for our job center and there is no effect to levy. So our divisions pay a portion based on the square footage they use, as well as any partners that are in there, they pay a portion of the rent. The other part in the Central Services is the mail services for all of Kenosha County. That portion is levy. For the 2019 budget, we are not looking for any levy change in this section.
Does the committee want to do what we've done right along here?
Make a motion to approve the Office of the Director.
All right, on the Office of the Director, you heard any other discussion? Seeing not all those in favor, say aye.
It's a tough vote.
All right, were you done with the second? All right.
I'll approve. Move to approve Central Service.
Second.
Any other discussion? Right, seeing not all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, so the next division is the workforce development. That starts on page 8. In this division, we are looking to increase our FTEs with 3 economic support workers and 1 administrative assistant. In last year's budget, we had $106,000 in our temp budget, and we were receiving funding to cover these temporary economic support workers. They have rolled this funding into the base, not at the full amount. So we would like to hire on these employees as full-time. So the net effect would be $85,000, which $47,000 of that would be funded. And they handle over 45,000 cases in their division. The other personnel change.
Can you answer this? With the economy improving, unemployment very low, why are we increasing this at all? Why isn't it going the other direction?
As I said, the caseloads continue to be in the 45,000 range. In February, we were at 45,500. We're at 45,200 now, so very little dip. And those caseloads are food share, which used to be food stamps, Medicaid, VagiCare, elderly, blind, disabled, long-term care, and child care benefits. So we have not seen a large number of that shrinking. So even though employment may be low, a lot of people still need these benefits to make ends meet in their daily lives.
Are these people employed or?
Some may be, sure. Child care, you can be receiving certainly that portion. Badger care, Medicaid, you can be employed, even food share, depending on how much you're making will determine how much food share you would be getting.
Right. Anything else in work for us?
Yes.
We got a question.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see her. Yes, Mike.
I just wanted to go back. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't catch up as quickly. On the original page, that, at least that I was looking at, a summary here, compared to the summary that you had given, it was originally submitted in a levy. Was it 598,886? But on the updated proposal, it was 759,256.
Human services overview?
Yeah.
No, 5%. It's been at the 759.
It has.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe it's summarized just further on back here.
There's a summary in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Lori will find it for you. She can find anything.
No, this is just the office of director.
Just
that. Total. Okay. That's not, this is an increase.
Okay. No. Okay, you suggest there are not the summary at all. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Carry on.
Okay, so the other thing to note on page 10 in the grants and contributions section, you'll see an increase of $755,000. $702,000 of this is for WIOA services, which you'll also see a revenue increase of $707,000 in section 9. This is due to increase in youth programs and increase in admin because we will be the fiscal agent in the consortium with Racine and Walworth counties. The revenue increase in section 10 is $674,000. And for this division, we are looking for a levy increase of $196,000 in section 11.
If we're going to take care of the finances, does that mean that the same people have more work, or does that mean that there's somebody else being brought on to do this, or what?
No, we've been kind of handling it, but Racine was able to do their own fiscal, and Walworth was able to do their fiscal. So they had an audit, and they deemed us to be the ones to be able to do the fiscal responsibility. But we can still do it with our current staff because we were already handling all programs through us. We just weren't necessarily the fiscal agent. We handled that separately.
All right, further discussion? Workforce development. Mike, yes.
Quick question. You had mentioned a variety of programs, Badger Care, so on and so forth. The reason that falls in the workforce development and not perhaps like aging and disability or something like that, I guess maybe it's a misnomer of the term workforce development, and it's a variety of different either state or county provider, maybe federal provided assistance programs.
Yeah, it's really our economic support division that handles those pieces.
And that's
under
just where
the
it falls.
Workforce development, where there's also the work programs and things like that. So the goal there is certainly to make people economically self-sufficient. By doing that, you have the work portions of that. So.
And I know there's the cliff that everybody tries to avoid. That needs to be addressed by our legislature so that people can continue to work, achieve, and not just fall off some cliff. It's just not right. What kind of metrics do you guys, and don't get too buried in the weeds here, but how do we measure the effectiveness of our workforce development? It's kind of a nebulous thing.
Sure, there are a number of outcomes. If you're in the WIOA programs, which are our adult dislocated worker and youth programs, there are a number of metrics that we're required to measure and report back to the states and the feds as far as employment, how long you're employed, at what wage are you employed starting 6 months into it, a year afterwards, things like that. So all that is tracked fairly significantly by all of our programs and reported back. In the economic support world, we are held to certain outcomes and standards by the state that we must maintain in order to help people become more self-sufficient.
Okay, and then one other question, I know this isn't really up to the budget, but I've always got you here. Have our state representatives come in and talk to you guys about, you know, the financial cliff, and that's what it is, when our less privileged individuals are trying to work their way into higher economic status, but they cannot afford to lose some of the support programs, and if they just make $1 more, off they go, right? And we know that that's a reality. Have they come down and spoken to you guys and brainstormed with you on what their plans are in the future?
Not to any significant level. And a lot of that also is at the federal level, so it's not just what happens in Madison, but also in D.C.
Sure, but we could certainly take a look.
Sure.
So, thank you.
All right, are you done with the workforce?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Move to approve.
Second.
Discussion, anyone? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Passes? Veterans?
The next division is the Veterans Services, which starts on page 12. In here, we're requesting an FTE increase of 0.37. We currently have an administrative assistant there. We would like to move from part-time to full-time. This accounts for the personnel increase of $47,000. While she's going from part-time to full-time, she'll be qualifying for full-time health insurance benefits. And we would like to look at accrediting her with the federal VA so she can also help do veterans claims.
I spoke with the director of the Veterans Division here, and we talked about ways that we could do small things to help the veterans and help this division. And after a long discussion, he told me that if we could get $5,000 moved into salaries, we could get one of his people accredited for that. And also staff development. What they do is, I was looking at other direct relief because I wanted to help the veterans of the area. And he said, well, we're really good at finding places for them to get the money. So it's really not gonna help us there. So but he said if we could get more accredited and more, you know, into more programs and that type of thing through staff development, and increasing this the salaries, that would be the way to go. So at this time, I'd like to make a motion. There's a carryover of $10,000, so I'm not going to add anything to the tax levy. I'd like $5,000 to go to salaries, $5,000 to go to staff development, and increase that for our veterans. So I'm going to make that motion right now.
I'll second it.
All right, the revenue comes from?
A carryover.
All right, where is that?
So it's no tax levy, so I'm not trying to increase something without having the money there. So.
Okay, so just clear, what's the salary part?
The salary is to have somebody go from, talked at length with them, go from $15 an hour to $18 an hour so she could go out and get accredited for these things, and then she'd be paid for what she does at that level, correct?
From what I understand, yes. So she's paid as an administrative assistant. It would still be in the same level, but it would be a great increase once she gets accredited because now she's able to do more stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the staff development is to achieve that?
Well, it's and for some of his other people to get accredited at certain things so they can go out and find more money for the veterans. So that's what I wanted to do.
All right, further discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Anything else? All right, veterans budget discussion?
Move to approve. Second.
Further discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
God bless you.
Thank you.
It passes. Medical examiner.
Good work.
So for the medical examiner, that starts on page 14. We are looking for an FTE increase of 0.62. Right now they have a part-time administrative assistant that's being paid out of HR's temporary budget. So we're looking at putting that into the medical examiner's budget. The personnel increase is $30,000, and $23,000 is for this part-time administrative assistant. The fixed charges you'll see decrease $72,000. That's in Section 6. And this is due to them moving in 2018 into the public safety building. So now they no longer have the building rent from the job center as well as the hospital. The fees schedule on page 16, we've just increased, we're limited to increase based on the consumer price index. We're estimating that to be 2.1% for 2018, and that's what we upped our fee cost for, and we'll have an increase in revenue of $5,300. And then our county levy is a decrease for this division of $45,000.
Where are we with autopsies? That's always a question that we have at this time.
Right now, we've budgeted 170 autopsies.
For this year, for 2018?
We did for this year and for 2019. Right now, we are running under.
How far under?
I think we're projecting out right now 123.
Okay. Why would we be at 170 then? Or
previous years, certainly we've been closer to that 170 number, and that's where we've been budgeting. Okay. So on a positive side also, we used Milwaukee to do our autopsies, and
right.
That rate has not increased in 2019. So
that's good.
They're holding steady on that.
You're on.
Thank you.
Yes.
The autopsies, is there any like list of reasons why the autopsies? I mean, just, you know, like murders or something
yes,
like that?
Yes, suspicious deaths, any type of suicide, accidental injuries or things along that line need to be autopsied.
Stuff that they can't determine.
So, yeah, like if you're a member, if you're receiving, let's say, a hospice service and you pass away at a hospice and the doctor, you know, it's a result of that illness, then you don't need an autopsy for something like that. But if somebody otherwise healthy all of a sudden drops dead, you're going to have an autopsy to figure out what it is.
Just curious.
What is the number of the opioid deaths? I mean, do you know what that is? Is that on the rise in our county?
Last year we were in the 50s. This year, last number I saw was like around 29, but there's still a number of cases that are, you know, waiting for final results and the drug testing to come through. So probably still somewhere in that neighborhood.
Okay, thank you.
Well, wouldn't you also say people are saved because of Narcan? So
yes,
maybe that's changing the number too.
Yeah, there's been some good reports back on the Narcan that's been used by law enforcement and others.
Mm-hmm. All right, discussion on medical examiner here.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, further discussion on that? These are the same.
Fees,
yeah.
There's an increase in fees of the 2.1% estimated consumer price index for 2018. And that's for the signed death certificate, removal of body, and cremation permit. And that increased our revenue $5,300.
That's a local decision.
That's the state. The state limits us to increase, and they started that, I think, in 2015 is when that came into the state. To the consumer price index percentage. So if at the end of 2018 it's 2%, we can only raise it 2%. If it's 2.5%, we could raise it 2.5%. So we have to do an estimate.
All right. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All The health?
So the Division of Health starts on page 18. In here, we had an FTE increase of 0.78. One of the positions we were proposing was for a nurse practitioner for the WIC program in the Center for Diseases, if we got this grant. However, we did not receive that grant, so we will not be requesting this position, nor will we have the revenue for it. So, as with any grant funding, if the grant goes away, the position goes away. If we don't get the grant, we don't get the position. So, the personnel increases $165,000. $120,000 of this was for that position, which we will not get the funding for. $29,000 is for an administrative assistant from part-time to full-time, and this is fully funded. On page 20 is the grants and contributions section, and you'll see a decrease of $770,000. It's in section 7. $147,000 of this is for the HUD contracted services. We finished out a 3-year closeout, and we're back to maintaining that, so we had to kind of ramp up to close that out. We have a credit of $455,000. We will no longer be the fiscal agents for some outside organizations. You will see the revenue offset in the family planning reproductive line. And then we have a reduction of $143,000. We will no longer be getting the tobacco control grant, and we will not be managing that program. That you'll also see the revenue offset in the state consolidated contract line. The outlay changes decrease $90,000. Increase $90,000. This is for two pieces of equipment that we needed to enhance testing quality. This is funded by bonding in section 11. Then on page 21, you'll see the revenue decrease of $507,000. $207,000 is for the HUD contracted services. $438,000 is for the no longer being the fiscal agent, and $160,000 for the tobacco control. So overall,
yeah. So if I'm looking in our budget book on page 209, and it says grants contributions, and there's this mega, $750,000 reduction in the grants. That's what each one of those is adding up to that.
Yeah.
And I know you made the statement earlier that when you don't have the grant, the position goes away. With all those other things, are there any other positions that have needed to go away because of this loss in grants or funding?
No. Well, the majority of that is
the HUD
we still have. It. We just had a 3-year closeout. However, one person in the HUD that was supervising it, he did retire. And we did rehire that position, but we kept him on to close out the 3-year because he's been in it. The tobacco control, that was contracted out, so we didn't have an FTE associated with that. And the fiscal agents, we didn't have anybody specifically for that. It was handled by our manager. Okay. So.
Thank you.
What happened to that tobacco control grant? I mean, is it just gone?
No, it still exists. It's just we're no longer the fiscal agent. So it was a tri-county grant with Racine, Kenosha, and Walworth. And I'm not sure. I think Racine might have become the fiscal agent on that. So the grant still exists. The work's still being done. Just that we aren't writing the checks based on that. We pass that on to someone else. It's their turn.
Their turn.
All right. Anything else on this budget? Yes.
I got a question. The city of Kenosha contributes, I guess it's increasing next year, right?
Yes.
It's going from $1,076,000 to $1,230,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I've often wondered why the city contributes, and I don't see any contribution from any of the other municipalities. I know that's based on some kind of formula, and I also understand that the city was overbuilt a little bit because people come by zip codes when they get the service, and some of the zip codes in Summers and in Summers especially are 53143, 53144. Why does the city get billed $1,230,000 and no other municipality gets billed anything? Explain that to me, because I'm having a hard time with that.
The city gets a levy portion, and Lori, help me if I'm explaining this incorrectly.
So in 1992.
You gotta speak up. You gotta speak up. That's my point.
She's telling us a story, a bedtime story.
And I mean, the city had a health department and the county had a health department.
Right.
And so they collaborated. Well, it was via state.
And they collaborated.
And then we put it together. We took it as the county. That's what was supposed to be the requirement. And so, as representing the county, we do represent all the other municipalities, like you're saying.
And but they don't contribute a dime.
The city, well, being in the county.
Well, hey, city's in the county.
But to your point about the zip codes, we cleared that up. This is our second year.
Yeah. So, but they still got an increase.
Yes, and it's based upon two different things. It's based upon how many city residents use our services versus county residents.
So, what about the Pleasant Prairie residents and the Summers residents and the residents in the West End?
They're under the county.
Do they get our services too?
Yes, they're under our.
So how come they're not billed?
They're under a county portion. Wasn't it a 1992 agreement?
I understand that, but it's still not an explanation to what I'm asking.
Yeah, the city people are billed twice is the point.
Exactly.
Whereas the non-city people are billed once.
Yeah,
and that's the point he's driving at. Why are we billed? We city people are paying
twice. This has to be corrected, okay? This is wrong.
No, the city portion of what they pay is not included in our county levy. They do not pay twice. This allocation method, whatever the city is allocated, they're the ones that are putting it on their tax levy.
Yeah.
That is not on ours.
But
that
I'm paying.
That is a
if
revenue.
If I live in the city, I'm paying it.
That is a revenue line item that is taken off and is not part of our county levy appropriation.
Well, I don't buy it, okay? I think we're being billed twice in the city.
Yeah. On a lighter note, page 210 in my budget book, lab and medical supplies. I'm just a little curious how in 2017 actual was 230. We budgeted 165 this year. We're going to end at 165, and we're going back up to 223.
This is to purchase Narcan. It's funded.
All right. I believe in that program. I'm not even going to get into that. That's fine. Data processing costs, we have an increase in that. Is that, that's line item 52-1400?
Yes, this is for their electronic software. The state was giving a meaningful use payment to get people to incentivize them to go to electronic records.
Okay.
And the state is no longer giving that incentive payment. Now we've already got the electronic record system, so that's why that increased $25,000.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm sorry, Mike? Yes.
What is the Department of Health doing with the dual blood alcohol analyzer with an auto sample and you must have heard
about it? How's
that used in your organization?
Those are devices that are used to do drug testing, both for folks that are involved in the court system and any drugs that are found by law enforcement that they need to have tested for criminal purposes and court purposes.
So you guys taken, as an example, rather than the local hospital, you guys do the drug analysis,
No, only we will do if they find drugs in a place. We aren't going to test that person per se. That is not here. But if somebody's on a court order with us, we'll do all the drug testing on that person. Yes. Correct. So we need to update the machines. Yeah, we need to update the machines because they're getting
long. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, but
they can't get to break.
Anything further?
They're looking for a levy decrease of $22,000.
Sorry, on this, going back to the city issue, paying for county health, do city people, through the county tax, pay for the overall health department, in other words, subsidize Pleasant Prairie, Summers?
Well, you just said city, so.
Yeah.
What?
I mean, clearly we pay it on our own.
The city pays for their portion.
Agreed.
Of the residents that come through the health department.
Does Pleasant Prairie pay for the citizens that come through the healthcare?
The county portion of the budget.
But we also pay for, subsidize the overall Pleasant Prairie summers outside of the city as well, deducting what you receive from the city. I think the answer is yes.
I think we all know the history of this thing. The history of this thing started way back when John Collins was a county executive and he set it up that way. And the city's been paying ever since. So I think something is going to have to be done with this. I don't know what it is, but.
All right. Any other discussion on this section? Is there any kind of motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, next is the
Aging and Disability Services that starts on
page 20. Can I make one other point?
Sure.
Can somebody give me a copy of this maximum cost allocation plan?
This is under what we're talking about?
Yeah, no, this was under that, the City of Kenosha. Contributions based on the results of 2017 Maximus Cost Allocation Plan.
Absolutely.
Can I get a copy of that?
We have a PDF version.
Please, thank you.
All right, then we're going to disability.
Yes, Aging and Disability starts on page 26. In this division, we are looking for an FTE increase of one for a behavioral health quality analyst. The personnel increase in section 3 is $103,000 for this behavioral quality analyst. Of that, $69,000 is the salary. The reason that we're looking for that is the behavioral health services have grown by 85% over the last 10 years, but we've only had one behavioral health manager for the last 16 years. We do have an increase in crisis calls, and we have 5 new grants in the last 2 years to address mental health shortages and the opioid crisis. In the grants and contributions section, section 6, we have an increase of $1.6 million. $408,000 of this is to go into institute placements. $133,000 of this is for residential and hospital placements. $665,000 is for our comprehensive community services program, which you'll also see in children and families. Just to remind you, this program is 100% funded. The federal handles a portion, and then the state is doing the match. So you'll see the revenue for this as well in Section 8. And then we have $217,000 increase for the care center. Again, this is to move the bed occupancy from 11 to 16. On page 28, you'll see a revenue increase of $1.2 million. The majority of this $1.1 million is for that program, the Comprehensive Community Services. For this division, we are looking for an overall levy increase of $583,000. This budget was approved unanimously by the Commission on Aging and Disability Services on October 8th and approved electronically by the Mental Health AODA Services Committee.
Can you tell me on this grants here, what's in 84,000 plus increased services for resource center? Explain that.
27. Quit eating candy, Ron.
So the resource center, that is the center that handles, what do we say, the calls? The elderly calls and everything. We also get funding for that from Medicaid. So we're increasing the services in that section, but we're also increasing the revenue to cover that.
So that's all covered?
Yes.
Yeah, it's all covered by MA.
What about this inpatient services based on, residential hospital service based on utilization?
So those are our residential and hospital placements.
Locally.
Correct. For the most part, residential.
The residential could be throughout the state, and those are folks that are in need of long-term deep-end care in the adult system. They can't live in a group home setting or at home, so they need extra assistance. And the hospitalization could be either Racine or generally around the Milwaukee area, Rogers or Aurora site.
So this is money that's going to come from elsewhere, not locally. Is that what you're saying? This list.
This will be both levy and medical assistance.
Okay. So this list, what's levy of that? Is that 1,600,000?
Of the 1.6?
Yeah.
I would say 400,000 of that would be levy.
I see. Okay.
And most of that's for our placements.
State institutions.
Okay.
Andy.
Yes.
That was 233. This is a grant. Is that what you're saying? The 233,000 for the.
No, that's we get some Medicaid funding for that, but a lot of that would be a levy as well.
Okay.
Any further discussion?
I read this, and I want to know who put $17 in salaries overtime. Is that you, Barna? $17, really?
You caught that.
I did catch that. I mean, how do you put that in a budget?
Was that 1 hour or two? Was that 1 hour or two?
It was in 17, and it's in 19. Now, who's milking us for a half an hour?
That may be an hour.
And you wanted to issue it $17.
You passed it. It was a typo, huh?
Where was the question? I'm sorry.
Franco.
The comment, John?
Question. Yeah. Is the
that was a typo, probably.
Medicaid revenue, Constance Community Services.
Can you speak a little louder, Chad?
Oh, sorry. Is the increase in the Medicaid revenue there for over $1 million largely due because the state is not giving the county as much money?
The increase is the state is making a match. So the federal gives a certain portion,
right,
and then the state is matching that. And that's
okay.
What that comprehensive.
So the federal government is giving less?
The federal, I think, gives 60.
No, it was a federal program, Comprehensive Community Services. We started it back in 05.
Okay.
And we used to have to do a local match, just like any kind of Medicaid program. We would have to supply the local match, which is like 49% or
40%. I guess my question is,
in a few years back, the state said, we like this program, so they put it in their budget, that they are picking up our local match. So it is 100% funded.
What impact does the fact that Wisconsin didn't take Medicaid expansion have on this?
Nothing.
No,
this program.
No, this program.
No.
Okay.
Question for you. With the increase at the care center in beds, will that reduce costs anywhere and where over the next few years?
We're hoping it will decrease our costs in institutes, but you know, as we just saw with the third quarter, we're projecting to be $1 million over budget in that section. So even with that, we still want to put more into.
But those extra beds in the long run will save money in other.
Yeah. You know, we looked at a period of time from mid-April to mid-July, and we were at 11 beds is where we're still at right now. And during that time, we had to turn away 15 people. One went to Aurora that cost us $5,400. Eight went to the State Institute, which was $92,000. And six could not be released from the Institute in a timely manner, which was another $15,000. So if you just take a snapshot of that, you can see that there will hopefully be some savings on that other end. There'll still be people that need to go to the state hospital because of their level of need, as I'm sure everyone in this room is aware of. But we're hoping that by increasing bed capacity, we might be able to keep a few of those folks still in our community.
Thank you.
Sure.
Yes.
You said it was $42,000 we saved for that month that we increased to two beds per month. I know Jack Rose had come to the county board and talked about that before, which comes out to about $500,000-ish if you multiply that out to the year. So if we're going from 11 to 16, we're looking to, if we're filling those beds, look at a reduction of 1.25?
I can't predict that today. That's I've never been able to come right out and say by increasing beds at the care center, we're going to correlate that to a significant drop in state institute costs. We're hopeful that and with all of our other programs, but to link them strongly together, I think would be misleading at this time until we get some more data.
But what you can do is measure what it is. You can't look forward and give us that number. You can look back.
Yes, I can tell you what the impact has been so far.
That's good.
And that was 42,000.
Correct, in that 1 month.
Okay.
Yes.
And I would just say if the beds are open. Mm-hmm. So if we open up to 16 beds and they're full, and we still don't have a bed for that person.
Right, but with the five, we're still possibly taking five people that might have gone here.
16 more.
Well, we'll continue to track all that. I mean, we'll show you if it's full, what's happening when we're full.
And now this 217,000 that we're increasing this year is to be able to fund those additional five beds.
Yes, correct. Yep.
All right, anything else on this section to be discussed?
Yes. I can't stand. when we presented that care center costing, when the county executive had us look at it and everything, it was really because of the crisis with our hospitalization. You know, our local hospitals were decreasing our Medicaid beds. So it really wasn't, the costing going forward really does not include big institute savings. We may catch one or two along the way, but it was really to help with, to take care of the lower hospital beds that were in the community.
So what you're saying is that the cost of Mendota is not going to decrease.
Right. If these people who are originally set for the institute because they're needed, that's where their need is, and not a hospital, we can't, you know, that type of thing won't go away. But it's because there were less hospitals that now we're moving them to the institute because there's no other place.
And we're over
we're
over budget $1 million. For the state institute.
It could be, yes. But I'm just saying it's to do the crisis with the less hospital beds that we're seeing in the local area.
Yeah, because I spoke to some Racine County supervisor. They were pretty sure that they don't even have beds over there anymore.
Yeah.
Racine.
It's an issue. All right, further discussion? Is there any kind of motion that you want?
I thought I made one. Maybe I did mentally.
I'll second that.
All right.
Mentally?
All right. Further discussion? None of those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Children and Family Services next.
Okay. So Division of Children and Family Services starts on page 30. We are requesting FTE increase of 3 in section 2, I'm sorry, 4 in section 2. 3 of those would be social worker 1s, and 1 would be a social worker supervisor. Currently, for the social worker 1s, their current caseload is 19 cases per social worker. And Wisconsin Counties Association best practices is 10 to 11 cases per social worker. So with this increase of 3, that would put them at 15 cases per social worker. And then for the social worker supervisor, currently they supervise 7 social workers. The best practice is 5. This would put supervision at still at 6 to 7 social workers. The personnel increase is 285,000 in section 3. 229,000 of this is for the 3 social workers. They would be at a salary of 46,000 each. The rest would be the benefits. 191,000 of this is funded. And then for the social worker supervisor, that would be 103,000. 82,000 of that the salary, and that would be fully funded.
Can I ask, when you say they have 19 cases, reducing it to 10, are we talking about 10 people?
No, families. Family. This is the child welfare unit, so these are cases that are considered a family. So these would be 19 families down to 15 families is what the...
I thought you said 10.
No, 15. 10 to
11. Best practice,
11
best practice is 10 to 11. We're just getting them down to 15 to 16 families.
That doesn't sound like a lot of people, but
they're overwhelmed right now by what it is they're doing, and we continue to see increases due to the opioid problem in our community, and kids are starting to stay in care longer, and things are just starting to kind of unwind.
Right.
where they need the assistance.
And so, as it goes, they get different families, and when one drops out, another.
Oh yeah, there's always a continue.
So no, we've had a learning curve every time they get a takeover family.
You know, we've had a 40% increase in CPS reports from 2014 to 2018. We were at 2,100. We're at over 3,000 right now. Oh. So that's it's Child Protective Services Unit. Thank you, Lori. and those are reports don't always mean a case is set up, but you'd see businesses continuing to move in an upward direction there.
How long will it take to ramp this up to get, you know, where you want to be? I mean, obviously you want to hire three people, but you can't throw them into the fire. You've got to.
No, they'll have to go through, depending on their experience. If it's somebody that doesn't have the experience in the field, they'll have to go through a longer training period than someone else. So it's a good 90 days before they can begin even probably taking a case in.
And is this salary set at a point where we can recruit?
I believe so. I believe we've had good responses. There's been a lot of turnover in that unit in the last couple of years, and we seem to be getting qualified candidates stepping into it.
Andy, did you have something?
Just a caveat. At the Wisconsin Counties Association, they had put a resolution together that they sent to all the directors, which is being sent down to us, asking the state to add $30 to $60 million to the state budget for all the counties to get down to or closer to this 10 per social worker.
What's your chance of that?
Yeah, right.
Yes.
I just would like to ask our new esteemed HR director, with all these positions we're adding this year, I haven't voted against any of them, and I'm not going to vote against these because the budget did come in at 2.25, which was lower than we asked. But is this going to bring our FTE count where you feel it needs to be? Or, I mean, we can't continue to hire this number of people every year. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, we rely on the departments and divisions to determine what they need to do to provide the services that are called for. So it's really a joint process. We don't get into the business of what Human Services does. We rely on them to tell us, this is our need. These are the people that, the number of people that we need to satisfy our constituency, our clients.
I understand that, and every year they would come in with more and more. So
really
my
nice.
Point is, in the past, we have not passed this number of FTEs. Now, I'm asking, if you feel through your meetings through the departments that, and I'm not going to put this department on the line because I'm talking the overall county FTE increase. Okay, like I said, I'm okay with it because we're at the 2.25. But I want to make sure that, we're hiring the right people in the right spots in the right departments so that we don't, because I can guarantee you if you came in with 18 FTEs next year, you wouldn't get them through. So that's my question. I want to have this discussion. So.
Sure. So we are involved in the process of personnel change requests. Human Resources works very closely to ensure that they're justified, they're needed, and it's not a matter of just, hey, whatever you ask for, let's put it
No, I know that's not the case.
So, no, we wouldn't be recommending them if we didn't feel strongly that they were needed.
I think that with the growth in the population in the last 5 or 6 years, obviously we've got more industry than we've ever had. You're not going to have, your problem's going to get bigger because we've got more. But what has the population done in the last 5 or 6 years in Kenosha County? Probably going up 7-8%. That's growth. And you're going to have more problems because you got more population. So the bigger we get, the better things are going to get, but the problems that we have with some certain part of the population is going to increase.
Well, I think the county executive did an excellent job in balancing where we need the money in other areas with the FTEs this year. That's all I'm saying. I've been passing these budgets for 11 years, and this is a lot of people. And I'm okay, like I said, I'm okay with it, and I certainly hear the caseload, and, I get it, and I know what your job is, but, we ultimately have to approve or disapprove of where they're coming in. I mean, the sheriff's asked for deputies a number of times, and, we have to ultimately be responsible in what we're doing, too. So Again, I'm not complaining. I just think that need discussion needs to be out in the open. Thank you.
Is there anything else on children?
Just that they are showing a levy decrease of $64,000.
Okay. Anything further? Any other discussion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Again, any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, next is
Brookside Care Center and Willow Brook Assisted Living.
Okay.
So I just want to explain that they are in a reserve account, but they do not, they're not funded by the levy. And for 2019, they do give back $500,000 to the general fund. The $500,000 give back is in Brookside, and in Brookside you'll see that they'll have a reserve need of $199,000. However, when we get to Willowbrook, you'll see a surplus of $199,000. So they will balance to zero and also be given $500,000 back to the general fund. So for Brookside Care Center, there's an FTE decrease of 0.2. We have an additional administrative assistant in there, currently funded by the HR temporary budget. Formerly, this position was shared with fiscal staff, FTE, but with the addition of Willowbrook, we're using the full FTE for fiscal duties. There's a reduction of 1.0 for the executive director, so she's retiring in 2019. The portion of her that will be in 2019 will be transferred to, is in Willowbrook's budget for oversight and getting it up and running. There's a decrease of 2.2 for dietary vacancies that have moved now to contracted services. We have 1.4 LPN requests for higher acuity needs and a larger footprint, as well as a part-time 0.6 environmental services worker for the larger footprint with the renovation. The personnel increase is $475,000 in Section 3. $132,000 of this is for the human resources benefit partner allocation. In the contractual services, you'll see an increase of $1.2 million. $685,000 of this is for the dietary contract. You'll see a credit in the supply section, food and supplies. We reclass the dietary food and supplies into this section. So you'll see, you know, the additional $685, but there's an offset of a credit, as well as the offset of the 2.2 dietary vacancies that is now moved into the contract. They are also requesting an additional dietitian for their services for 2019. Due to admission and discharge planning. Page 36, you'll see the supplies decrease of $340,000. And that's for that reclass into the contract of services. Page 37 is their capital outlay detail. The first column is the capital that will be funded by the operating revenues. And the second column, the last column, is what would be funded by the bonding. Page 38 shows their census levels, where they have been year to date. Their renovation was completed early. We had it budgeted to complete in May. It actually got completed in March, so we were back up the 10 beds that we were down during the renovation phase. And September, they ended with their census at 150.5 out of their 154 beds. So they're ramping up back on their census. The 2019 budget, we have budgeted a census of 149. You'll see that on page 39 in the yellow section. And that gives us our census breakout on which revenue payer sources that 149 falls into. We do budget a private pay rate increase. Currently, it's at $325, and we would like to increase that to $335 per day with the renovation. Then on page 40 shows
where am I seeing? Yeah, Mr. Chair, where am I seeing the 149? Or where am I not seeing it?
On page 39 in the yellow section.
Oh, okay. All right. I was on 38. I'm sorry.
Yeah, right here.
Top of your head.
Okay, John, relax. Thank you.
Page 40 gives our revenue changes. And again, I just want to point out the reserves is you'll see $198,945. That is the levy need. So when it's a positive number, that means we need additional funding to make us whole. But the $500,000 down at the bottom, that is what we're returning to the general fund. So that's a credit because we're returning it. Questions on Brookside?
Discussion? Yes, John.
So are the problems in the dietary department dying down there? Kind of working and complaining? I guess I should ask the HR through the chair. You know,
yes.
Yes, they're reducing them. I think it's 2.5.
2.2 is the reduction for
2018. As we transition from Brookside to Unit 9, that will become less and less of a problem. But we really haven't seen anything down in a couple of, you know, like 6 months.
Okay, thanks.
Anything else? Anyone? Mike?
Just a quick question is correct me if I'm wrong, where you're asking for bonding $94,000, you're giving back $500,000 general fund. Why don't we just pay for it out of that? Rather than bond for it. And then secondly, is it the norm, Chairman, that the excess from Brookside goes into the general fund?
Yes.
Is that how it's set up?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, that's how it used to be, but now it stays there.
Sweetheart. Answer.
At one time, Brookside surpluses would roll into the general fund, and now it's separate.
So now it's a segregated account.
Correct.
So this is not going to go into the general fund?
The $500,000 will go into the general fund.
2019?
Correct.
And what about it thereafter?
That will phase out over the next
2020 will start $400,000, then it'll go $300,000, $200,000, $100,000, and then to zero.
And then what?
Then we will be paying back the principal for the renovation.
Because they are paying the bonding, then they are not putting money into the general fund.
So then it's a break even. So what happens if they go into a red over that period of time?
Our 20-year projection does not show that happening. It shows a surplus at the
$3 million right now is our 20-year projection. So through paying it back, the bonding.
Through the life of that bond, they will be able to sustain.
Can everybody hear back there?
Through the life of the bond, they will be able to sustain paying the bond and will have surplus funds based on the projections, which we update periodically with changes in various things.
Yes.
So the agreement must have been that at 500, 400, okay, why aren't or are we utilizing that excess revenue to be paying on the bonds? The bond fees right now in the debt service for Brookside?
No,
or is this
no
just
Brookside is currently paying the interest on the bonds that are used for the renovation. They are paying that out of their funds. They will begin to pay principal at the time that the phase out comes in of them contributing to the general fund. So
in the meantime, the county is picking up the principal? No?
No, the bond was structured that the principal does not come due until that point.
Okay. And I like the idea of, and I think that generally speaking, you guys, we had talked about for many years, setting up Brookside as a self-autonomous entity so that they were responsible for the profit loss. So if they are profitable, they get to keep it and redecorate and do whatever they want, which is a great idea, so it doesn't come out of levy. But I'm still seeing this surplus coming in the general fund, which doesn't allow them to take care of things that they want, and thus $94,000 in bonding. Why aren't they just paying for the stuff? They don't need to bond for some chairs.
Because
we got excess money. Why isn't it theirs to spend as they've earned it?
Well, I guess that was the board's decision is the answer. I mean, the board can decide what it wants to decide, but that was the decision at the time.
I understand.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, it's not like I don't like the fact that they're in the black here. That's outstanding. You reward positive behavior or you know, results here, and that's what they're delivering, right?
So if there's insufficient money in the projections, of course, then the taxpayer has to foot the bill. So that's the downside in the future. We have to wait and see.
Well, you know, that bridge can always be recrossed, right? If they get into the red, it's not like we're just going to say cut and run. You know, we're going to be there.
Yeah, we've been down that
catch
road.
Them, yes. But based on their projections and their business model and plan that they put together and presented, that doesn't look like that's going to occur. Anything can happen in the future. No one can predict that. But right now, it looks very positive for them. And just like golf, we put them on their own and their own footing, and we said, you know, no capital here. You guys, you know, fund your own activities, and they really have made the efforts to do so, and I think that Brookside is functioning much the same way, but I'm just trying to understand why we're taking the profit, put in the general fund so they can be spent elsewhere, but then they want a bond. It does not make sense to me.
The items that they bond for are items that have useful life.
I'm not debating that
so
part. I get it.
Strength,
right?
It's
but why are we taking on debt when we don't have to take on debt?
So it's the concept of spreading the expense over the life of the for those capital items. Same as the overall. But I understand what you're saying.
Fair. That is exactly how bonding should be, right? Things that are going to have a useful life of say 10 years as an example, not 3 years or 1 year. On the other hand, if you don't have to take on debt because you have money in your account, that's even a smarter thing. Because when things do, you know, and we all know business and economic cycles come and go, there'll be bad times. You don't want to be borrowing too much in the good times because then you got to pay them in the bad, borrow in the bad, so you can afford to pay them in the good.
That doesn't make any sense.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get off on a tangent. Just
yeah. I think we understand your point, and I'm going to ask Patty if she would check with the Corporation Council. I think it's a question of what did you promise the bondholders when you went to bond? Can that be changed? I don't know that it can be changed. I don't know that it's part of the bond contract, but I think that's the issue. Clearly, that was the decision of the board when this was authorized, and you were, I think, a member of the board. But it's worthy to rethink that, but I don't know that it can be changed, even if you wanted to, and I'm not saying we want to, but we can check it.
Okay, and maybe there's an impact of how, there's a lot of numbers, let's be honest, we've been sitting here for 3-4 days going on this budget, and if that contribution is not made to the general fund, perhaps it has an impact somewhere else. I'm not the one to sit and figure out where all these balls are bouncing. But burnout or can figure that out. And if it's a negative impact, fine. If not, I like the idea of them being able to be rewarded for outstanding performance.
Well, we'll
do the same.
Maybe you can talk to the bond council or the corporation council.
Part
of the fund, the bond
council. We're spending.
Bring that back tomorrow. All right. Anything else on this section?
No.
Okay. Further discussion, anyway?
I can't even think of anything to hound Lori with before she leaves.
Bless you.
Thank you.
On the other hand.
All right, is there a further discussion on this?
We'll do approve.
Further discussion, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, we're ready. Thank you for this presentation, and we will return tomorrow. I was thinking we were voting on that together.
Motion to
adjourn.
Yeah, so then we have Willowbrook, which is our assisted living facility, which opened in June of 2018. So the additional FTEs is for... when we budgeted last year for 2018, we just budgeted for one wing for half of the occupancy. So their occupancy is 24 beds. We budgeted at 12 beds to get them time to ramp up. For 2019, now we're going to be budgeting for the full year at full occupancy. So last year was a partial year, partial occupancy. This year, full year, full occupancy. So we're actually budgeting at 20 beds this year. And then again, on the reserves line, page 45, you'll see that they have a surplus of $198,945, which offsets Brookside's need. So that's how they then zero out. And both Willowbrook and Brookside were passed unanimously by the Brookside Board of Trustees on October 8th.
And you're comfortable with your projection of your FTEs at Willowbrook, right?
Correct. Yes, I am. Very much so.
Move to approve.
Second.
All right. Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, that completes the agenda. Again,
yes.
Thank you. And you have a policy resolution here. Taking home what's read is what has changed.
So maybe you could write that so I could read it.
Yeah, we can just write it up.
All right, we'll continue tomorrow.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor, everybody. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
What about us opposed to adjourn?